Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday morning to you all, and welcome into the Frat House Sports Garage. Frat House might come into your very lovely Sunday morning from, at least our neck of the woods here on April 2nd. Wonderful spring-like morning here as we are, got our feet up on the oil cans. We're all going to sit around here for the next 90 minutes, so we're going to chit-chat a little bit about what happened in South California last week. Auto Club Speedway, and of course this week NASCAR's heading to Martinsville. So we got a good 90 minutes or so of racing chat. And I got to tell you, I mean, look, you've come to the right place because it seemed that for weeks and weeks and weeks, we all here talked about Kyle Larson. And lo and behold, I think I even said it on a number of occasions, well, you just got to feel that the way the kid's driving, that he's going to get one sooner than later. And that's exactly what happened last week on what I'm calling hashtag Kyle Larson weekend. Yeah, he got his win last week, at well-deserved, too, in my opinion. And so, at this point, you know, if you do a comparison of 2016 to 2017 to this point, if last year was the year of JGR, which I think most people would probably walk away and say, yeah, that's probably about accurate, then 2017 right now is starting out as being what some are referring to as the year of the young drivers. An interesting situation. Do we see more young drivers perhaps in the winner's circle today at Martinsville? Could it, in fact, even be someone like Kyle Larson again, who sits on the pole today at Martinsville? Could it be a Ryan Blaney? Could it be a Chase Elliott? Ah, all rather interesting stuff that we'll be getting into here this morning. Couple other things, though, that came across the wire to me as I was putting things together for this program. Ratings so far in this young season, in this new and improved era of NASCAR, and I'm willing to give it a chance yet, as I've been saying, and I'm willing to give the ratings a chance to kind of come around. But so far, through the first 5 weeks, ratings have never been worse. There hasn't even been a novelty effect. Which is one of the things I was saying a couple of weeks ago that I think really NASCAR missed the boat on. I really think they missed the boat on doing sort of a rebranding. That's what they really, I think, needed to promote. Hey, this is a new and improved product. You really didn't hear about it. Ratings have never been worse than they have been over the beginning part of this particular season. And you got to wonder whether, in fact, what all that spells for the future of it, whether in fact we might perhaps maybe see things upswing yet. Perhaps it hasn't flatlined yet. It hasn't plateaued on the low side. But anyhow, ratings are down. And I got to get the guys' opinions as well on another little story that keeps making the rounds. It did again, I think it was just yesterday, because apparently there's a new video that's circulating that was made last week in an effort to put a real positive spin on the Monster Energy Girls. Boy, oh boy, these gals have really created quite a negative effect. And I, for one, I'm going to be perfectly blunt. I don't get it. That's just where I'm coming down on. I don't get it. I don't see what the issue is. But we'll get the rest of the guys' opinion on that one as well. As I pointed out today, we are at Martinsville, race number 6. Kyle Larson on the pole, and we'll get into all of that. We'll also take a look at the standings in this new season. We'll get into a little fantasy chit-chat, and we'll, of course, make all of our picks before we get out of here at about 12:30 or so. That's what we've got on the agenda. Oh, and of course, if any of you want to call in, hey, don't hesitate. We'd love to have you. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here in the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, get over, leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. Get the crew in here. Side Draft made it in time. We were suspecting, buddy, that you were out filling up on racing fuel. Okay. He's still
filling
up on
racing fuel.
I was waiting for
everything's
that.
Great with the soundboard this morning.
Oh, it's not working?
I'm off the click, and I'm like,
you big dummy.
It seems to be working
exactly.
Just fine for Brandon.
He knew to
drop that one on you.
After last week's disappointing fantasy performance, I'm hoping that after this weekend,
everything's great.
Headed neck and neck there with the big dummy over there, Brandon. Won last week, knocked me out there at the very end. I thought he was going to pick up the win, and I didn't. So now I'm sitting here as the only member of the Frat House staff that does not have a win this season.
That's true.
Both McShane girls, Papa
yep.
McShane, and Brandon now all have wins this season. I'm sitting here, no wins. But I can claim a small victory. I believe the last time I checked, I think I'm the points leader, though.
Yes, you are.
No wins, but I am the overall points leader.
That's correct.
So
that is correct.
You know, last weekend, we talked about Kyle Larson, and, you know, God, second place. This kid's going to get a win one of these weekends. And lo and behold, he got the win. So I can only sit here and say that it's going to come. It's just a matter of time. I have to believe that the team will get there.
Oh, man. I know. I mean, you know, listen, it's so appropriate. It came here on NCAA weekend. My goodness. I'm in the locker room. Coach has got me in tears. Seriously. Wow. That was intense.
Well, yeah,
everything's great.
You know, exactly. Today is just, wow, the 2nd of April. I mean, we can go down to things. It's the first day of Major League Baseball.
Oh,
yes,
please,
the
stop
boys
it.
Of
Tomorrow
summer
is.
Are back. Well, there are some games today, but, baseball's back. You know what I mean? You know, for all you football fans that had your lull, you know, and NASCAR wasn't quite doing it for you. WrestleMania's tonight. Season finale of Walking Dead. I'm going to win at Martinsville. I mean,
everything's great.
No, I just can't deal with so much optimism here this morning. Honest to God, this is just too much. All four of us here on this panel picked Kyle Larson last week, which, I mean, And all four of us were right in that respect. That actually was a rather exciting fantasy drive that came down to the end. I don't mind telling tales out of school. Brandon was over here going, you know, kind of sitting on the edge of his seat through the last four or five laps. We'll say that. I mean,
Oh no!
He went back ahead of me.
I was in the lead. I was in the lead until Ricky Bobby and Trevor Bayne spun. That last caution got me, and that's what cost me the race. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get it! I'm gonna get it! I'm gonna get it!" No.
Oh, that is funny. All right, well, we got Brandon with us, and let's get our fourth member in here as well, and that's Christian Colley joining us from On Pit Road, onpitroad.com. Make sure you're checking out everything that they're putting together over there. What, in fact, Christian, were you writing about this week? Did you have any assignments?
I wasn't writing about very much. I didn't really have anything this weekend because the fact the ARC Racing Series was off again this weekend,
right.
And then the Xfinity Series didn't race this weekend. So I really didn't ride anything this weekend, but today I'm going full throttle into this week, which we're going to start covering the Nashville ARC race. Will be Saturday night, which I'm going to, and we're going to also cover the K&N Series race in Greenville. I'm not covering it, but we're just going to preview it, and then hopefully we're going to give a race recap on Saturday night. And then the Xfinity Series returns to action on Saturday afternoon from the Texas Motor Speedway. So we're looking forward to covering all three of those. I'm looking forward to writing about all three of those series. And all three series are really making a return. K&N Series hasn't raced since February, and neither's ARCA. And then the Xfinity Series took 1 week off. So we're looking forward to covering those three races primarily. But we might jump over and do some stuff to preview Texas with the other guys too.
Awesome. Wow, you got a busy week coming up.
Very.
So, everybody, On Pit Road, onpitroad.com. That's how you can keep track of everything the guys are going to be covering this week. All right. Well, as I pointed out, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Kyle Larson has just been a man on a mission the whole season. And lo and behold, as I said, you know, we've pointed out here now multiple times, led 110 laps last week and won the race going away. Let me do it. We'll do it a little bit early. I've got the final two laps right here, audio from it, and this is how it sounded last week at Auto Club Speedway.
I love this.
Green,
this is so cool.
Green. Checker.
Well, Kyle Larson's going to seal the deal. He will have earned this one. Yesterday's winner has been out front most of today, 106 laps, green flag.
Boy, once again, the 11 didn't get a great start, but I tell you, that 78 is pushing
There's
Larson
the
into the corner. He dives under it
to the inside. That's going to block the two.
Whoa, it's going to get a little tight.
Yeah, that's exactly what Larson
Here comes,
wanted to
look
see.
Look at Boyer.
Here comes Boyer to second. Battling Keselowski with Larson out front. Logano looking for racing room in the middle. A lot of jostling mid-pack.
Yeah, once that 70, that 42 is long gone. Once you get that kind of lead, everybody's bottled up back here. You're not going to catch him.
Truex to fourth. McMurray fifth. Down on the grass is Ryan Blaney.
Boy, this is such tense racing when you're trying to come to the checkered flag. Fighting for position.
White flag.
Woo! Now you just pack it in there and hope it sticks.
Remember, Brad Keselowski won here
two years ago,
leading only the last lap. Back straightaway, final time.
I think we're past the overtime line. I think we're good to go here. And it looks like Mr. Larson is coming home.
Keselowski dives to the bottom. Not close enough. The California kid, Kyle Larson, brings it off. Turn number four. He, Chip Ganassi, and Chevrolet are going to victory lane in Fontana.
Good job, buddy. You better belt that thing down.
Brad Keselowski second. Clint Boyer third. Truex fourth. Logano fifth.
That's a Murray.
Yeah, great job, boys.
That's your top 10, top of the screen.
That's a clean sweep for that 42 car for Larson. One yesterday, one today, one the pole.
Great job, Chad.
Second career win for Kyle Larson. Denny Hamlin gave it his all. He's going to end up 14th. Look at the number 11. You'll see why.
You think four wide works in the final corner? I don't think so. Boy, they just used them up right there.
Oof.
Made a little contact there as well.
He was battling for 11.
I think Martin Truex Jr. deserves a lot of credit for bringing his car home in fourth by staying out.
Kyle Larson has now finished in the top two for the last four races. And four top twos through the first five races in a season, tied for the second most all-time. He's our fifth different winner, and Kyle Larson taking home the checkered flag is today's Sunoco fueling victory.
Well, DW, you got it done on the restart that time, a couple of them.
No, it's so much fun. I love the way this ended up.
Oh, man, I love this kid. What a talent. I think that's going to build a lot of confidence for him and this team, as well as that great call by Chad Johnson. That was gutsy. When you're leading the race and you can take tires and not take tires, that is the toughest position to be in.
In 20 years of this speedway, he is only the second driver to win from the pole. Jimmy Johnson did it in 2008, as Larson does an Alan Kulwicki-style Polish victory lap for the fans along the front stretch at Auto Club Speedway. Kyle Larson, your winner.
Hearing that again, I was struck by sidekick comments you made last week when you were talking about Kyle Larson, and you said, you know, this kid, he just needs to. I think you basically said, you know, he just needs to learn how to finish, and once he does that, this kid could really, really go on a tear. Interesting. The Charlotte Observer this past week had an article out. When was this? On Tuesday, March 31st, whatever. 31st. I guess it was actually Friday. Referring to Kyle Larson as NASCAR's next budding superstar. Kevin Harvick compared him with a young Jeff Gordon. Dale Earnhardt Jr. called Larson a future star of the sport. Two, saying fans will embrace his personality because he's a really, really cool guy. I mean, that just the article goes on and on and on, and just accolades being heaped upon the kid from Jimmy Johnson jumping in. Where did Johnson? I see a ton of potential. He's a great talent, said Johnson, winner of 80 races. We have all known that. He has been highly talented and just waiting for him and the team to go to their winning ways, and it looks like they are there. You know, I talked about it a little bit early on in the season, how, you know, one of the things that bugged me about him a little bit was how it constantly felt like he always had to be driving the high line. It didn't seem to matter what track he was going to. But so far in the past couple of races, we've kind of seen his style change a little bit, and as a result, being more aggressive. You know, as I watched the race last week, as I hear the audio again here this morning, I'm just taking right back to Sidekick exactly what you said on the air here last week.
Yeah, right. And basically, you know, when you're looking at the you know, maturing of a driver, when the young guys come in, it's okay. Let me ride and not get run over. You know what I mean? Just learn to drive, you know, finish a race with these guys, you know, and then it's, you know, becoming comfortable running up front all the time. And that's where we saw Kyle. Since towards the end of last season, we've seen him, you know, start running up front and stuff like that. But, you know, he couldn't close the races, you know, and, you know, some of these older, you know, or more seasoned guys were kind of schooling him at the end of the races. And, you know, it was just a matter of him getting that, you know, getting past that stage, picking up some tips on, you know, how to, you know, how to close out that race. And last week he figured, you know, it looks like he hit on it, and he, you know, he survived all those. That third segment last week was crazy. And, you know, he got up there and he yeah, gosh darn it, my PG, you know, gosh darn it, you know, he got the win, you know. And I can't remember if it was last week's show or another show, but, you know, I kind of compared him, saying we're probably looking at the next Jimmy Johnson.
Well, yeah, you
Kyle
did.
Larson. You know, I don't know, you know, that might be a little bit premature, but I, you know, as young as Kyle is, you know, I can't help but think that he's, you know, from here on, I mean, we're just going to see him getting better and better and better, you know, and he could be, you know, once Jimmy says, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to hang it up, I'm, you know, I'm happy and everything, you know, I think Kyle will be at that level where, you know, basically it'll be that torch passing kind of thing, you know. And you know, and I don't want to just single out Kyle Larson, you know, as you were mentioning, you know, this being the year of the young driver. I mean, you know, Ryan Blaney, you know, what he's doing with the Wood Brothers, you know, I love that story. I'm a huge, you know, this year is probably, you know, I'm a, you know, a diehard, probably more of a diehard Ryan Blaney fan than I am a pesky Penske fan. I mean,
that's good. There's hope for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the Fords, but you know, we talked about it with the charter and how we felt that the Wood Brothers kind of got screwed. And, you know, just from a nostalgia standpoint, why didn't the Wood Brothers get the charter? You know what I mean? And, you know,
right.
It came down to, you know, the rules and not running full schedule and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm sitting here in the back, you know, quietly rooting on the Wood Brothers, you know, because of that nostalgia there and the fact that, you know, I think they should have got a charter and everything. And then you've got, you know, you got Chase Elliott, you know, who is, you know, showing Hendrick Motorsports how you're supposed to be running. You know, he's basically showing up, you know, showing up Junior, Casey Kane, and Jimmy Johnson, you know. So you got to like it.
Christian, I don't know. Did you ever have a chance to see Larson coming up prior to his Sprint Cup day or Sprint, not Sprint Cup, but Cup days?
I think the first time I noticed Kyle Larson was something special was I went to a race at Bristol in 2013, and it was the race where he finished side-by-side with Kyle Busch at Kyle Busch's place. That's when I looked at him, and I was like, well, that kid's going places because, in fact, he was almost able to beat Kyle Busch in his own backyard, I mean, his own playground. And I think that was really when I noticed that he had something to bring to the table. But I feel like I don't know if it would have helped him. And I mean, you look at Daniel Suarez and see how moderate he's doing this season. I mean, he's doing good, but he's got his rookie mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Larson would have stayed in the Xfinity Series one more year and maybe pulled that championship, if he would have been better sooner rather than being pulled up so quickly.
Because
he basically spent one season in the Xfinity Series and he was done.
But with the way that the Xfinity Series, you know, and the Monster Energy Series have kind of diverged the past few years, is it kind of like comparing apples and oranges, though? I mean, you know, making that jump from, you know, being a, you know, an Xfinity Series champion and running well there, you know, does that really translate to the Cup Series?
I think if you can go out there and challenge the Cup regulars and beat the Cup regulars, you feel a little bit more confident going in on Sunday if you join the series and you feel like you can beat them.
Okay.
I think that's the big reason why a lot of people want the Cup. I think another reason why they want the Cup regulars in the Xfinity series is because of the fact that if a Cup or Xfinity regular can beat a Cup regular, that's got to be rewarding because they know they can beat the best.
That's an interesting
point. And I think
point.
It's got to do they got to do a little they got to feel a little bit they got to feel a little bit better about going up there and beating Chase Elliott, somebody that's in the Cup series, or on Saturday if they can go out there and beat Kyle Busch, who's been a dominant figure in the Xfinity series for at least the last 5 years. I feel and Kyle Busch is one of those drivers that if you go out there and impress him, you've impressed him, because you look at his Camping World Truck Series team, a lot of the drivers that drive for him are drivers that have impressed him or beat him. That's how Eric Jones got his ride, just because he beat Kyle Busch in a race, a short track race. And that's basically how Eric Jones is now where he is today. I mean, you just have to feel like you can go out there and beat the drivers that are in the top tier on the top tier season or series. In the Truck Series, you want to beat the Xfinity regulars. It's kind of like everybody wanted to try to beat Ross Chastain yesterday because he's an Xfinity regular. He's not in a high-funded Xfinity ride, but it's in the next level. And if you feel like you, if you can go out there and beat somebody like that, you have to look good in the Xfinity Series team owners because of the fact that you've beat somebody that's in that series in the lower series. That's what we've always viewed this all three series as, is a stepping stone. You have to step up until you get to the Cup Series. And I feel like I think we need to push that a little bit more than we have been.
You know, that is a really great point, and I got to be honest, it's one I hadn't thought of. And I've been highly, highly critical of the Cuppers' involvement in Xfinity, as I know so many fans have been. I've been highly critical of it. I don't like it. I hate seeing the Cuppers win every damn week. I just feel that, you know, it's like it would be like sending, you know, it would be like sending Mike Trout down to AAA. You know, what do you think Mike Trout's going to do? Come on, you know. But you make a very, very good point, Christian, from the standpoint that it provides these guys, the younger guys, the developing guys, that extra edge, that extra. Drive, pardon the pun, really go out and exceed and succeed against, you know, the creme de la creme, the best in the product. So, you know, that's a very, very good, interesting point. I knew Kyle Larson's name. I wasn't a big Xfinity follower. I guess back at that time it was Nationwide. Where I remember Larson was at that infamous Daytona race, which I think was an Xfinity race, where, you know, that was the one where, what, a couple of people, I think we had injuries at Daytona from debris flying over the catch fence and Larson's car going upside the sideways across the top of the fence. That's where I remember Larson. Suddenly, it's the year after that Larson's coming into the Cup Series, and I'm saying to myself, really? This is the guy that's coming into Cup Series? The guy that just a year ago was flying his car over the catch fence? Huh? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, it's too soon. This has been, you know, I hear this argument made. Everybody wants to bring the kids up early. Everybody wants to bring the kids up early. And yet, at the same time, I hear, well, perhaps maybe we shouldn't be bringing the kids up so early. You know, it's the same thing we hear in minor league baseball all the same time. Where we're bringing them up too soon. Well, you're not bringing them up soon enough. I mean, I don't know. I look at somebody like...
See.
Go ahead.
I think it's a case-by-case situation. You know, with Kyle Larson, if you remember, Juan Pablo Montoya, you know, was not going to race Cup anymore, and he went back to the IndyCar series. So Chip Ganassi had a conundrum. I'd like to have Kyle Larson in the Xfinity series for another year, but I don't want to put somebody else in the car and then lose Kyle Larson. So what's he supposed? I guarantee you, he had discussions with Target, and Target said, "Bring the kid up." That's probably the way it happened. You know, and
that's the way I felt.
Maybe a little early,
but
now they're gonna.
That's the way.
Now he's doing good.
that's how I feel Daniel Suarez ended up being, was the fact that Aris looked at it to bring the kid up, because Aris already sponsored him in the Xfinity Series.
Right. I think Aris had more to do with that than even Carl. You know?
Finish what you were going to say.
Well, I don't know if I can finish it. We don't know what's up with Carl just yet. The whole truth.
Okay. See, I was gonna say, I like the guy. He's one of my drivers, but I think Joey Logano was brought up too early.
Oh, he was. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, he floundered at Gibbs. Led to him getting out, let go from Gibbs. Luckily he landed with Penske. And I don't know if it was, something with, if it was just a maturity thing and him switching to, Penske that he started coming around, or, I don't know if it was a maturity thing or manufacturer, team, what it was, but, he was horrible.
Speaking of the Xfinity Series. Speaking of Xfinity Series, I'm just reading about this right now. Two-time NASCAR Xfinity Series champion Sam Arn passed away on Sunday, April 2nd, this morning.
Wow. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, he passed away. I think I was reading at 12 o'clock this morning.
How old was he, does it say? Like 80,
90? He was 78.
Okay.
I know I was reading the report yesterday. It said that he basically couldn't walk anymore. Because the rumor started circulating yesterday, but then his daughter cleared all the rumors up and went to Facebook and said that he hadn't yet, but I think the official word just came out that he did.
Well, it's interesting. When you take a look at, let me go back to for a moment, because Psychic, I know you gave accolades to Chase Elliott and to Ryan Blaney and some of the other young drivers, and there's ones that we're not even including in there yet. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, who knows? Maybe it's today, Austin Dillon's going to get a win. It's going to happen. Austin Dillon's going to get a win. I've seen improvement in Austin Dillon from his first year to how we're watching him drive even this year. So I include him yet in the quote-unquote young driver group. And of course his brother too, Ty Dillon. And I guess you'd have to throw in Eric Jones and, I'm probably missing even a few more, but in all of my thinking about, who was ready to come up, who's not ready to come up, when they first talked about Chase Elliott, I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? This kid can't even drink, and they're bringing him up and putting him in, and yet appeared.
We heard that the other day that.
Go ahead.
We figured out the other day that Ryan Blaney can't drink either. Dell Jr. has to buy his beer.
I don't even know how old Ryan Blaney is. How old is Ryan Blaney? Well, he must be under 21, I guess. So I don't.
Yeah, he's probably
19
or 20.
It seemed to me of the group.
23.
It seemed to me Chase Elliott appeared to have the most innate skill. And when we're talking innate skill, I'm talking, the kind of, Kyle Busch type of skill at driving. That's what I'm talking about. I wasn't thinking Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson was the furthest from my mind. I'm going to be honest with you, of all of the crop of quote unquote new young drivers, Kyle Larson wasn't the one. I was thinking Chase Elliott. Psychic, you say Kyle Larson might be, you didn't say would be, you said might be, has the potential to possibly be the next Jimmy Johnson. I would have sooner put that cloak on Chase Elliott? Yes? No?
I'm not.
I was one of the very few people that didn't feel like Ryan or Chase Elliott was going to do very well.
You did or didn't?
I don't really know why. I didn't. I didn't think he was.
You didn't. Okay. All right. Interesting.
To me, I'll throw my two cents in. He seems like the most polished of the bunch to me.
I agree.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I don't want to tip any hand or anything yet, but you know, I think he's going to have an awesome day today. I watched him yesterday in the truck series.
Well,
he's
hand not just got tipped.
Yeah. Hey, I love Brandon. I love
but
Brandon. He does this every week. I don't want to tip my hand, but.
Well, hey, if we're going to talk about the guy, I mean, I watched the truck race yesterday, and he really handled himself well in a car or a truck. Rather that it wasn't even a Hendrick truck. I'm not even sure how that. Oh, was it?
GMS pilots Hendrick engines.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Still, then
that's
the
how you get the Alex
there.
Bowman in there. And...
Oh, okay. Right. Right.
Well, anyway, you look good. So.
I agree. I mean, you know, we didn't even bring that up.
Big dummy.
Did you just get it dropped on you? You just got it dropped
on
you.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well, listen, Brandon, don't worry about it.
Everything's great.
Yeah. oh, that's the other thing, Brad asked Mike. I forgot to tell you. Yesterday after the truck race, when they were interviewing the drivers, Kyle Busch was standing on pit road with his two truck drivers wearing the Everything's Great t-shirt.
Nice.
In 1 week, they have raised $30,000 for his foundation selling those jerseys, those t-shirts, for $22 a piece.
I think we have to order Fred House Mike one just because it's Kyle Busch's.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sitting here with my M&M's racing shirt on right now. Go ahead, Sidekick. I don't know. Did you want to chime in on the Chase Elliott versus Kyle Larson?
Well, Chase is going to have a good career. I would probably put him. Like I said, I'm not sure. I think he's still a little too young in the series to kind of make that call. Kyle Larson has a couple of years on him. Like Brandon said, he's probably the most polished to come out, and I would probably put him in that Kevin Harvick kind of tier. You know what I mean? Right now. Where, you know, I think he's going to be a superstar, no doubt about that. I just don't know if he's going to be like a seven-time champ kind of thing. Also, to go back to Kyle Larson, though, with Chip Ganassi Racing, you know, problem I see with Kyle isn't going to be his skill anymore, necessarily. It's going to be Chip Ganassi keeping up with him. Like keeping the rides under him. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, if Chip Ganassi has a bad year or something like that.
You could see Kyle Larson bailing. You could see Kyle Larson bailing.
Well, and that's another thing. I mean, I don't know how much time he's got left on his contract, but he could easily become a free agent and, you know, Hendrick or one of these other big name teams could come in and swoop him up. You know, and pay him a good dollar, and you know that would obviously probably change things. Speaking about Kyle Larson, a question I had for Christian is, you know, because he's seen him more from through his amateur and stuff,
developmental years.
Do you think this year? The reason, you know, we saw the end of last year, he started coming on. But do you think why we're seeing so much more dominance from Kyle this season is due to the low force package that they implemented this year? Because Larson's got a dirt background.
Yeah,
so
right.
I want to say the lower force package suits him better.
It could be an aspect, but one of my big things about Kyle Larson and why he's doing so well this season is because I think he's seen the wrong end of the sticks too many times. He's seen second place finishes after second place finishes after second place finishes after second place finishes. And I think after a good while, you're going to learn what you're doing wrong, and you're going to go through and try to fix it. I think that's what's causing Larson to do so well this season.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the dirt background, Sidekick. One of the things that was brought up, and I noticed it over on Fox, and who else reported on it that I was absolutely positively aware of? Oh, USA Today, actually, which, you know, USA Today's, I'm a little biased. I love USA Today Sports, but USA Today does a really, really good job of covering NASCAR. They cut through the fluff, you know, and there's a lot of fluff out there in NASCAR that comes down on a weekly basis. But they actually reported on it as well this week, and that was Larson gets his win, and like we see so many times with these young drivers, they get their win, and everybody wants to shove a microphone in their face and get an opinion on everything. Because, you know, now suddenly they're an expert, you know. I guess everybody but Ryan Newman. Nobody gives a damn that Ryan Newman was. And he's not a young driver. But he got into this whole thing this past week. And let me see here. Let me read it exactly as Fox Sports had it. Larson, a California native, grew up racing sprint cars on dirt short tracks out west, and his contract with car owner Chip Ganassi allows him to run up to 25 races a year outside of NASCAR. He thinks other drivers should do likewise. Quote, I feel like everybody needs to encourage me and others to go race at your local short tracks and all that because I feel like we've lost touch with our grassroots race fans, said Larson. In USA Today, he actually made the comment, if I'm not mistaken, because I read this one earlier. Let's see if I can put my hands on it right away. Oh, yeah, here, perfect. Quote, I get asked that question all the time. When are they going to shut you down? Well, you know what? I think it's a legitimate question. You know, we have seen this sort of thing. We saw it with Tony Stewart. We've seen it with some of the other drivers who, you know, Kyle Busch cut back dramatically on his extracurricular racing. You know, Kyle Larson is using the dirt track sprint car racing as, excuse me, a way to connect with quote unquote grassroots fans that NASCAR has lost touch with. Really? I don't know. Is there any legitimacy to that? Anybody?
No, I think so. When I was a kid and used to go to local dirt track races a lot, you'd see NASCAR stars show up every once in a while, you know, do signings, you know, maybe have, you know, three or four of them there, run a, you know, a little exhibition race on the track. Absolutely used to do that. Doubt it's being done today. I mean, I don't go to many dirt track races anymore, unfortunately. I just don't have the time, but they used to. I remember, you know, seeing Kenny Schrader, Michael Waltrip, you know, all them guys back in the day come out and, you know, especially if they were close, like say they were racing at Pocono or Dover and, you know, our area here, they'd show up at, you know, a little track in Bechtelsville called Grandview and sit there and find some stuff and go play on the track. Yeah, I don't
all
know.
Right,
I don't
so
know how much
give,
of it happens anymore.
So you give some credence to what Kyle Larson is saying here, that in fact, perhaps maybe there has been a bit of a disconnect with the local fan, the grassroots fan, as he likes to.
I bet Christian can probably comment. I bet Christian can probably comment more because he's probably more involved with it.
I was going to say yes, yes.
I have one dirt track around where I live, and it's Boyd Speedway. It was a place where Cup races were raced at in the early '60s. And I know it's a big deal for a Cup regular like Ty Dillon and Austin Dillon. They commonly come here at least once a year. And that's about all we ever get is those two drivers. But I know on Friday night we had the Lucas Oil Dirt Racing Series, which had Scott Blomqvist and a couple of the other ones that I'm not very familiar with dirt. I've only been to three races in my whole life, which is strange with me being a journalist for NASCAR. But I think those big events bring people, but I think the little events bring more people because you see people like a good friend of mine, John Smith, who only races at Boyd's. He goes down to North Georgia Speedway a couple times, but those are the type of people that I feel are the good people in this in the dirt racing. We have a lot of people that go out there and spend their hard-earned money to race a car that, you know, they just have dreams of racing. They don't really care to try their hardest to make it to NASCAR. Now there's some of them that do want to make it to NASCAR, but a lot of these people, they've noticed that's long and gone. So they're just doing what they can in the dirt racing. And I feel like that's where everybody's saying that they've lost their grassroots fans. I really agree because the fact you don't see many Cup regulars and stuff downing into dirt racing, but it's also you got to think of the risks and the rewards. I mean, risks is you could see somebody get injured on a Saturday night at a dirt race. God forbid that happens, but you could see that. But, you know, I don't know how I would feel if I was a dirt racer and I'd see somebody like Ty Dillon, and some of them may be offended by it because a lot of these dirt teams or a lot of these Cup regulars come or a lot of these NASCAR stars come down from their series with their sponsorship. And they're at a very big – and the other people are a very big disadvantage, and they don't have as much funding. So, I mean, I don't know how I could really view that because there's some people – I mean, the people in the crowds would like to see that, but the people that do it every week I don't think would because of the fact you see those cars come in there with the high-end sponsorships and the high-end equipment and the big giant hauler, and you look over here and you've got a guy with an open cage hauler or an open cage trailer that carries his dirt car once a month or once a week.
Well, now I got to be honest, I don't know how it works because I've not attended any. But I would suspect, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you got one of these high profile drivers coming out to an event like this, it's pre-promoted, right? They don't just drop by. Hey guys, I'm here. Let me get into a race, right?
In most cases, I know the local radio stations will support it. I know around here when the Lucas Oil, like on Friday night, I know we started seeing commercials for it around here. We would see the commercials about it. But really, in all seriousness, you don't hear about who's going to be there until that day. So,
I think
I mean, promotion might be key.
Yeah, if it's a promotional thing, you'll hear about it ahead of time. If it's a driver showing up to play and race, you probably won't.
No.
I think that's the difference.
So there's not necessarily an impact on the gate.
Well, maybe not for that specific day, but, you know, if say, you know, somebody shows up to play at your dirt track, you know, I think it could in the future. I think, you know, because you never know when it's going to happen. I don't know. I think it would be more of a connection, though, to the fans that were there that particular week. You know, it would be more special to them because it was you know, surprise. Oh, so-and-so, you know, Kyle Larson showed up and came to play, you know, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way we used to hear that it used to go down, if I'm not mistaken, with Tony Stewart, right?
Yeah, he just decided on a Wednesday night, I'm showing up at the World Outlaws show.
Exactly. Yeah. And he would, you know, and he would just... Right. It seems to me that if you knew in advance, well, now you have a greater impact and While some guys who drive regularly in those on those tracks and in those series may not necessarily like it, hey, listen, if it's increasing your gate, well, you really can't bitch, right? I mean, seriously. Because isn't that what it's all supposed to be about anyhow? But, you know, with Kyle Larson, you know, I just go back to, see, I don't know, maybe it's the 21st century methodology we think with when it comes to sports. It seems to me there comes a point where the risks outweigh the rewards. Why would I want to risk? And I think, Christian, you just said it yourself. You know, hey, you don't want to see it happen, but gosh knows we have seen it happen where guys get injured on these ancillary events and tracks that, you know, it's not their main livelihood. It's not the main thing that we're looking for them to be doing. So, it, you know, the question that he throws out there in the USA Today article, I get asked all the time, when are they going to shut you down? Well, I think it's a legitimate question. I really do. I think that's a legitimate question. You know, we've talked about this before, how, you know, some of the bigger stars in all of our sports, be it football, Major League Baseball, have clauses in their contracts about what they can and cannot do in their free time. Well,
yeah, but you got to be careful. I think if you start shutting it down, then you're going to start alienating the lower level fan base even more. I think that's the whole point of this article is, you know, hey, we're losing touch. We need to do more of this, not less.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong.
I know that's the conundrum, though. To me, that's the conundrum, because then you're risking losing, you know, at the top where the bigger money is. That's all my point is. I hate to sound, again, like I said, I hate to sound like I'm being 21st century, but hey, you know, reality is reality the way it is. That's all. But, well, you know, this all goes back to a lot of the things that we've talked about before, and that is that, you know, racing is trying to find its identity. And that kind of leads me into that actually created a pretty good segue for article that I sent over to everybody here from one of my favorite websites that I check in on regularly. One of the broadcasting websites that I check out regularly, Awful Announcing. What was the date on this? This was just March 28th, so it was the beginning of the week. Taking a look at NASCAR ratings through the first 5 weeks of this year. Now, we've had all these changes in NASCAR this season. You got sponsorship changes. You got format changes. A lot of this, allegedly, for the purpose of trying to regenerate or rejuvenate interest in the sport, rejuvenate the ratings on television. Ratings being reported have never been worse than what we have seen so far this season. Never been worse. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I made the point of saying that I really believe that NASCAR missed the mark with this from the very beginning of this new season. They knew they were going to be going to new format changes. You know, they knew it. They knew it back in January. All right. They knew it. They probably knew it in December. They had a pretty good sense of what they were going to be going to. Why were they not promoting the hell out of it, if for no other reason than to at least get a novelty bump? You know, as I pointed out from the very beginning of this program, you know, you do a whole rebranding campaign. New and improved, that sort of thing. We never saw any of that. I really believe that NASCAR has missed the boat on this new product. Now, look, we talked about it now. We said that the stage racing, I felt, worked very well at Phoenix. I thought it worked well last week at Auto Club. Maybe it's just a matter of me getting used to it. Maybe ultimately you know, by midseason, I'm going to like it everywhere. I don't know. Or maybe it is going to be track specific. We'll find out. We're going to find out today who had a short track. But, you know, I really believe that they've just kind of missed the boat on the whole thing. Any thoughts from anybody on ratings? And I mean, they're worse.
I don't know, honestly. You know, I think some of it has to do, you know, a little bit with you know, the TV network still and the way they do stuff. I mean, I think they must have said it a half a dozen times during the truck race, which was yesterday afternoon, was on Fox Sports proper on
Fox
Network.
Couldn't believe it.
And then they had to remind everybody like eight times.
Today
hey, tomorrow
on
it's on FS1. Hey, the big series race is on FS1 tomorrow. You know, it's like, you know, that's the kind of crap I think that hurts. I really don't know. I think your casual, your fringe fan base, the ones who aren't going to go looking for it, if they can't find it, those are the ones that you're missing, you know, by doing what they do.
I couldn't agree with you more, Brandon. I was, you know, for my Saturday program, I was, you know, talking about all the sports that were going live at the time I was on the air. And I brought up the fact that the truck race would be starting, I believe it was 3 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. And I said, that'll be on Fox. And I looked at it and I said, but tomorrow's race will be on FS1. That didn't make any sense to me.
The truck race was originally going to be on FS1, and then they decided to move it to Fox because of something else that was on yesterday on FS1. I don't remember what it was. So it's kind of a last-minute move, because I'm much happier they moved it to Fox than they did FS2.
Sure. Well, one of the things
that's
they pointed out is that a lot of people do not have FS1. That's part
FS2.
Of the problem. So
most people have FS1. It's FS2
well,
they don't
apparently,
have.
Apparently, from what I've read, some people don't even have FS1.
Oh.
That's what I've read. Some cable companies don't carry it. Cable providers.
Wow.
So, you know, if we're going to be putting our races over on FS1, our main races, well, obviously you're not going to get them. But according to the article that I sent over, Awful Announcing, let's see, are they not? They're not including Daytona, it looks like. All right, the Atlanta race was down 7% in viewership, 6.6 million viewers from last year. Now, these are numbers from last year. So it was down 7% from last year. Las Vegas was down 18% from last year. Phoenix was down 18% from last year. California was down 17% from last year. Those are significant drops, guys. Significant. I mean, we're not talking 5%, 6%. These are significant drops. Phoenix down 5.4 million viewers from a year ago. What? That's insane. I mean, that you got to wonder if this, I mean, and you know, I brought it up, you know, in my warm up. Is it a situation where this thing just hasn't bottomed out yet? Maybe it just hasn't bottomed out yet. Maybe it's gonna spike back up. But I gotta tell you something right now. Drew's got to be sitting back going, "Wow, this is a bigger problem than we realized." I mean, seriously.
I agree with you there. I don't know. I'm surprised that it's continuing to drop. I thought we'd at least leveled off by now. I'll be honest. I think that's a bit of a surprise.
And
I don't know.
You know something that I find interesting, you know, because you said, you know, that the race is over on FS1 today. And I'm thinking, well, you know, like we alluded to, it's, you know, it's the, you know, the unofficial opening day of baseball. And I'm like, well, maybe there's baseball on Fox. And that's why they moved the race. But I'm looking at our local Fox affiliate here in Philadelphia, Fox 29. And they've got paid programming up until 3 p.m. They've got a comedy no name. I don't even recognize these people from 3 to 4, and then reruns of Bones and the X-Files. So there's not even, there's garbage over there.
Infomercials. That's what the paid programming is. So you got infomercials
exactly.
on
so
Fox
nothing,
proper here in Philadelphia.
Like, yeah. So it's
yeah,
not like there's
the fifth largest market
know,
in the country.
Some major thing that would be preempting them to say, hey, let's move the race from Fox proper over to FS1.
See, I think this still goes back to the sports channel thing. The Foxes and NBCs want everything on their sports channel if they can get it there. And,
yeah,
and they want people
yeah,
to have
traffic.
To, yeah, they're trying to force everybody to have the package that you get it and everything else. And I think they avoid the over the air free TV, you know, channels as much as they can. Not that, you know,
yeah, but then
I don't know.
It's evident that what's happening is, they're wanting for programming over on their main, on their flagship station. I mean, that's the problem. If you're putting on paid infomercials, I mean, what the hell? Channel might look at it and go, well, you know, what the hell do we care? We're making some money off of this because somebody's paying us for it. But you know, the viewers aren't watching it. Who you know? I don't know. Guys, I'm telling you, I think NASCAR failed in pre-promotion. That's what I think. I think that's a
big
part.
Well, I don't think NASCAR had very much time.
I don't know, Christian.
I mean,
come on, they had to have known in December.
Well, it was late December that we knew that we were going to be sponsored by Monster Energy. The diecasts that were revealed this year don't even have the Monster Energy logo on it.
Wow.
The first run of the season doesn't even have the Monster Energy NASCAR Series logo on it. Because of the fact Lionel told them that they needed an exact date to put the logo on the car, and they didn't reach that date, and that's why that's what's going on.
I think he's right. I mean, they didn't have enough time.
Yeah, too late. They didn't have enough time to promote anything.
Okay.
And what they did, it looked all thrown together. I mean, you noticed with some of the NASCAR commercials came out in early January, it was like a generic commercial. I mean, it was like, okay, well, how can I get excited about a generic commercial? And you got to look, we didn't even announce the rule changes until about 3 weeks before the 500. We weren't really going to have enough time to promote that either. So it was kind of like, we threw everything together, and I think that's really why the ratings are down. There's two reasons I think the ratings are down. I think that the lack of promotion, but the lack of time is those two, the two combined on that one. And then another thing is that I don't know if they include the streaming, because people stream television now. They do it with YouTube's got a streaming service now. There's another one that has a streaming service. I don't know if that is included in the rating. Some people record races, like last weekend's race. I was not even home to watch the race. So I recorded it, and it does not include your ratings on – it does not include that you watched it if you record it, which is a strange thing to say, but that's – and I don't think it's – I mean, 7% is a big number. It's a big number. Could be 15. It could be 20%. So I don't think we need to be utterly – we need to be the musicians on the Titanic that start playing music as it starts to sink. But I think we need to start getting some life rafts out and preparing for it to sink before it does.
With regard to streaming, one of the things that we did discover this past week, and it's been talked about, we talked about it a lot on our flagship program for, you know, during the NFL season, during that whole period when the NFL was bemoaning, it seemed like weekly, that ratings were down, ratings were down, ratings were down. One of the things we learned over the past 3 weeks from the NCAA tournament is that apparently major sports franchises and leagues can track streaming numbers. So the argument presented by people like Roger Goodell or whoever other commissioners of leagues might be that, well, with the, you know, online streaming numbers, we're not 100% certain. We know it's untrue. We saw that the numbers were there for the NCAA. If the NCAA can get them, NASCAR can get them. So I don't buy the streaming numbers. I would agree with you.
Maybe they're too lazy
to
do it.
Well, then that's on them.
I mean, you know what I mean.
They got a whole industry that's got to be supportive.
They could view it as if they added the streaming, it could look even worse.
Oh boy. Well, I don't know how.
I mean, I hate looking at it that way, but it could.
Oh man, alive! I don't know. All right. Well, I guess we'll continue to watch where it goes.
I think if they had an easy answer by now, we'd see some improvement. So clearly, they don't even know. You know what I mean?
I don't think just because things were thrown together and perhaps a little bit rushed on the front end, I do not think that precludes you from even right now doing a rebranding program. Go ahead and do a rebranding campaign right now. You're only 5 weeks into the season. It's a long, stinking season. Start your rebranding program now. Come out with all kinds of promotions, new and improved. I don't know. Go ahead, Psychic.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing that I think is hurting NASCAR, and we've talked about it a lot, actually, if you sit down and go back and listen to shows, I don't know if we necessarily call it out like this, but NASCAR is undergoing a huge identity crisis. And that NASCAR is a niche sport, kind of like NHRA. Okay, it's not like a baseball or a football. They're trying; they want to be like an NFL, Major League Baseball, an NBA. The problem they're where they're caught is they're trying to make changes to bring in more fans, to take them to that mainstream NFL-type level. The problem is, while they're doing that, and we talked about it at the beginning of the show, disenfranchising the current fan base. You know, we talk about the classic fans, the fans that have been, you know, lifelong fans, you know, that remember, you know, back in the, you know, the heyday and, you know, the Cale Yarborough years and the, you know, and the, you know, and things like that. And I think that the two types of fans don't mix. They're oil and water. So they're caught between this, how do we keep the old fans happy and how do we bring the new fans in and keep them engaged, you know? And so that's what we're seeing now is, you know, maybe part of this thing with the ratings and, you know, we're starting to see older drivers retire and things like that. And I think that might be part of the problem that NASCAR's facing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really do. I think you do have an ideological problem between and we've talked about it, as you say. We have talked about this a lot on this network over the past probably four seasons. But I agree with you. I think that it is an attempt. And, you know, you bring up a lot of the same things that our friend Maggie did last week when she was there trackside at Auto Club Speedway, where she said, you know, they're trying to be everything to everybody. Well, you know, listen, that probably isn't going to work. You know, a la one of the other things I wanted to bring up, you know, all the static about the Monster Energy girls. I mean, seriously, what else are we going to bitch about? Does anybody have a problem with the Monster Energy girls?
No, they've been at everything Monster's ever supported.
Well, this
That's
is a big
just
issue.
Been the way it is at
this
every
is
their
a
bike
big
races.
Issue.
Nah.
There was a video that is being released, dropped as of right now, believe it or not, that was filmed last week at Auto Club. It was all as a result of trying to bring a new light on the Monster Energy girls, because the Monster Energy girls apparently have created quite a hubbub inside the NASCAR community. Boy, oh boy, people really, really are upset by these gals. The article which I had sent over, which came from, again, it was republished over on USA Today, but it was For the Win actually, or published it initially, had the complete, it's a 7, almost 8 minute video. Quote, the article read, quote, "It was as degrading as the Twitter comments, the video, although not at first. But then in the video, masquerading as a way for fans to, quote, get to know the real monster girls of NASCAR, men weighed in on the women's uniforms, and that's when it got weird. Nothing tells women's stories better than having men talk about, talk about them like they're objects." Guys, I watched the whole video, 8 minutes. I did not see anything. Look, the outfits are the outfits. What are you going to do? All right. I don't think they're horrible. I don't think that they're demeaning. We've seen this kind of thing in, for God's sake, does anybody remember the old days in boxing when the gal used to, the ring gal used to come
girls, Mike.
Okay, there you go.
And
we'll come
and,
out.
In USC, they still got ring girls in essentially bikini tops and blue short bottoms.
And that, with
right.
due respect,
see,
I don't see any difference here. And in fact, I actually think that the outfits here are classier.
Well, here's the problem, and I'm going to get all sorts of hate stuff.
Good.
I know it because, you know, here's like we just said, the ideology of NASCAR. You look at the quote unquote grassroots, hardcore longtime fan. They're a Southern conservative fan base. They're expanding out, and they're trying to, they last week at Auto Club, they showed all the drivers from California and things like that. But if you look at the majority of the base, I think it's a strong Southern conservative background. So between the internet trolls who are just out there, they've got no agenda other than they're just going around and pooping on everything like geese. Okay. It doesn't matter what you put up. They're going to poop on it. Just, that's the way internet trolls are. They live in their parents' basement and just poop on stuff. So that rant's over, but I think part of the problem with the Monster Energy girls is it's kind of similar to what we saw when Danica came in. Remember, a lot of people, the King, Richard Petty, she don't belong here.
Oh.
You remember?
No.
So again, NASCAR's in this identity crisis where, you're alienating one group, trying to bring in more people. And so, I think that's the problem with the Monster Energy girls is that you've got to, I'm going to sit back and be like, hey, I'm going to admire as much as I can admire, and I'm going to soak it in. You know what I mean?
I would venture a bet of the three of us that are on this panel, the three of us regulars, Brandon, Sidekick, myself, I would bet that if we sat down, we probably come away with it going, yeah, Mike is probably about the most conservative of all of us. I do have a conservative streak in me. I don't find anything. I don't find any issue here. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean,
exactly.
If they were really revealing, I might say something. I might speak up and go, hey, you know, guys, it's really not exactly fan friendly. You know, it's a funny thing because we were just talking about it the other again. How many times has it come up, you know, at different times here? You know, the old Chase Utley, you know, dropping the F-bomb at the Phil celebration almost 10 years ago. I was so opposed to it and still am. It was just completely unnecessary. If that were the case here, I would speak up and say, you know what? Guys, it's unnecessary. It's supposed to be a family-friendly environment. It's not exactly family-friendly. I don't see a problem with what the – I don't get it. To me, it's a lot of just – it's the same. And you might be right, Psychic. It might just be a lot of, you know, internet trolls out there pushing buttons. Hey, I know how to get these fans riled up. Let's go do this. You know, that might be it. That might be what it is. I don't know. Real quick, Christian, your perspective on the Monster Energy girls.
Well, I don't know if anybody saw what happened to Victory Lane last weekend.
Go ahead. What actually? I don't know. Do we want to know?
Well, you know their outfits.
Yeah.
Was there a
wardrobe malfunction?
Girls. Mishap.
Yeah. Yes, did we have a wardrobe malfunction?
There was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, there was.
I'm gonna have
a lot
to go
of
back
fans
and watch
pointed it out. But it's kind of sad because everybody, you kind of had to zoom in to see it. It's like some people were just looking for one. It's kind of like, okay.
Well, probably the trolls. It was
big
the trolls.
I mean, I don't really have a problem.
That psychic's referring to.
I think,
go ahead.
I don't really have a problem with the Monster Energy girls. I mean, most of the times when I'm at a race, I don't know. I've not been to a Monster Energy era race. But most of the times, I've really never even really paid attention to them.
Exactly.
I mean, you'd see them in Victory Lane. I mean,
yeah.
That's the big thing is they don't promote them as much as they do in Supercross. Because I know in Supercross, they get a lot of television time. A lot of television time.
Oh, yeah. They drop the flags. There's all sorts of, yeah.
So I think that's why we need, I mean, have them drop the flag. That might be good. No, but, I mean, I don't really know what the big stink over it is. I mean, I really don't care. I mean, it's not
right.
That I don't care. It's just, it's like, that should not be what we're concerned about. The sport's dying, and we're concerned about this. I mean, it's not dying, but you know what I get by that. Concerned about the girls than we are about how we can make the sport better. Or how the
Agreed.
Fans can suggest how the sport gets better. And
I think
we got our priorities in the wrong place.
I couldn't agree with you more. However, I think it is a symbolism of exactly what you're talking about. And I think it goes exactly to what Psychic's saying. That, you know, we got this, you've got this ideological clash going on inside this sport. And you, on one hand, Christian, are taking the pragmatic view of it and saying, hey, we got a dramatic problem over here. We got a crisis over here we need to address. And you've got this other group over on the other side that's saying, we don't give a damn about your problems. All you got to do is turn the clock back. You turn the clock back and guess what? You won't have any more problems. Well, you know.
There's a reason why
you know,
we changed.
Something just dawned on me and literally just popped into my head. So how many guys here on the panel have, lack of a better word, camped at a NASCAR race? I know Brandon has. I know I have.
I've been to one. I've not actually camped at it. I've been to it for the day.
Okay.
I've not spent
I've
it over
at one.
So this reference may be kind of lost on you, Mike.
Go ahead.
But
I've heard about the shenanigans.
The debauchery that goes on in the campgrounds, you know, pre-race, post-race, all weekend long, all that goes on. Nobody's crying about that debauchery. But we're going to cry about the fact that, you know, last year we had Miss Coors Light in a fake, you know, fire suit. You know, I don't. It's probably. I'm sure it's not real fire suit. It's probably. You know, it's a faux make it look like a fire suit. So she's basically covered head to toe. The only thing she's missing is a burka. And then this year you're talking about Monster Energy girls who are in basically black yoga pants.
Right.
And they're showing their midriff.
Right.
And in some of the outfits I see, basically it's just their stomach area and their belly button that's open. And
exactly.
Yeah, their breasts are kind of popping out of some of the outfits. And that's the stink. Oh my God. We've got midriff in Victory Lane.
Really?
Meanwhile, you've got a Mardi Gras-esque celebration
you got an
going
orgy.
On in the campground.
You got an
at
orgy
night
going on. Exactly.
Where people are riding around in pickup trucks and they're flashing for beads and beer. Come on now.
Really? But let's turn the clock back, guys. Come on, we got to turn the clock back.
You turn it. Yeah.
Oh,
turn
God.
It back to Prohibition, maybe. Come on. Back when it was racing. You know, come on. I mean, you know, again, that's the problem with the sport. They don't know what they want.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I don't think
exactly.
The fans know what they really want. It's sometimes.
Hysterical.
It's like, you know, come on.
All right. Well, like I said, I think Maggie summed it up perfectly last week, and she did it in about 30 seconds. I mean, you know, she was talking about how she just got her life coach certification, and, hey, let me apply what I've learned from that to this. These guys don't know what they want. They're having a crisis, you know, a personality crisis. That I think we've summed it up. All right. Listen, what we want today is we want some short track racing, and we're going to get it. We're going to Martinsville. We got Kyle Larson on the pole as a result of qualifying, getting washed out on Friday from all that ridiculous rain that we got up and down the East Coast. Real quick, guys, interesting story. I just want to get real quick opinions on it because we got about 6 minutes here. I found the situation with Daniel Suarez's crew chief a bit mysterious. Crew chief Dave Rogers, Daniel Suarez's crew chief, out on indefinite personal leave from Joe Gibbs Racing. Team announced via press release Wednesday. Rogers, who helmed the number 19 Toyota driven by Daniel Suarez, has worked with JGR for Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Busch dating back to 2010. So he's been with the company now for 7 years or more. Little odd, I thought, or am I reading into it too much? Anybody got anything different on this? I think crew chiefs are going to start stepping away the more penalties they get.
Ooh,
because there's a lot of penalties coming for the crew chiefs. You notice Rodney Childers got suspended for this week. You've got Paulo, who's returning this week because Team Penske announced last week that they're going to appeal it after they had an interim crew chief last week. I think the more penalties you're seeing, the more crew chiefs you're going to get to see leave, because there's a lot of penalties that it's affecting the crew chief personally more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially see if you see any of the underfunded teams get these penalties, because I feel like if you see an underfunded team get fined I think Paul have got fined $60,000. If you see an underfunded team get that, the crew chief's not, or the team's not going to pay for it. The crew chief's going to have to pay for it. And most likely the crew chief's not going to have the money to pay for it.
Rogers,
so,
however,
I
has not been hit with any kind of penalty.
But I think he's getting out of there before he does.
So you're saying this is a preemptive sort of thing? Potentially a preemptive sort of thing?
I kind of feel like it could be. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, there could be family issues. I mean, that could be the reason. But I think it's weird how suddenly the crew chiefs are getting the spotlight. And you've seen the penalties and stuff. The crew chiefs are the ones that get affected more than the driver and everybody. In the Xfinity series, if Kyle Busch fails post-race inspection, it doesn't affect Kyle Busch at all. It affects the crew chief and the team.
Correct.
And I feel like, I don't know. We talked about that last week with all the penalties that we've been having recently.
Yep, you're right. Well, all right, interesting. Just wanted to bring it up because apparently that's in, you know, the situation today with Suarez's crew. All right, anyhow. So Martinsville half mile racing here today. And let's get around real quick, take a look at where we stand in our fantasy league. As Sidekick was pointing out very, very early in the show, a whole bunch of people related to Frat House Sports who have a win, but, well, not Sidekick yet. But you sit poised there, buddy. You're 6th and 7th. And as you point out, number one in points. So number one is a little. Number two,
first and
too
third.
Hot to handle.
Or first
number
and
three, B. Haynes, Brandon got his win last week, so that puts him in third. Fourth right now, Thunder Down Under, and I'm coming in 5th right now. So, Sidekick, what do we have? I got to say, my fantasy team is really shook up this week. I really shook it up. Go ahead. What do you got?
I'm 26. Everything is great.
Everything's great. You'll be fine, Chris, dude. All you need is one win, and that'll get you in.
Yep.
Yeah, I just need that one win.
Yeah. Mike got his in early. Normally, he waits until the last race or two, and
that's
then
correct.
He squeaks in just under the.
That's correct.
Just under the. Yeah. So okay. So this week, well, you know. Hey, everything's great. I like my team. You know, it, obviously it's performing well. So
yep.
I made one minor tweak this week. So I'm going with Brad Keselowski. I took out Jimmy Johnson and put in Martin Truex Jr. I'm keeping Matt DiBenedetto. I'm keeping Kyle Larson. And I'm keeping Landon Cassel. And you know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to go with Kyle Larson and Chevy as my winner and my manufacturer.
Yeah, I was going to point it out earlier in the program. I didn't, but Kyle Larson, you know, as well as he's been running, been difficult trying to make the decision to keep him on or take him off. In our Pick'em Challenge, excuse me, NASCAR John sits up at the top, 217 points. Sidekick, you're 209. Brandon, 189. I'm coming in at 186. Loyal listener Liz at 164. Christian, you're coming in at 156. It got tight. It tightened up a lot last week with all of us picking Larson. NASCAR John is going with Jimmy Johnson. Sidekick, are you going with Larson?
Yes, I'm going to ride that pony again this week.
All right, Larson. Brandon, where are you heading?
Chase Elliott.
That's what I thought. Guys, I'm going to shock you. I'm going with Busch. Kurt Busch. I'm going with Kurt Busch.
Kurt?
Listener Liz going with Jamie McMurray. Christian, you're going with?
A.J. Allmendinger.
There you go. That's how we're going with them today. All right, just run out of time. Hey, many thanks, everybody that's listened in today. Many thanks, Christian. Thank you very much. We'll get you back here one more time next week. Make sure everybody's here with us, please, on Thursday night for our Frat House Sports Show, our flagship program, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. In the meantime, boogity, 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 get out there and enjoy your racing.